It's time for Fish Facts, Stevie.
Welcome to Fishcasting, the fishing podcast. I'm your host, Tanner, of Fish Facts TV.
Hey, Tanner. Hello, everyone. I'm Captain Tim.
All right, guys. Been a couple weeks. You know, we're trying to keep it more regular, but unfortunately, life gets in the way. Fishing's been tough to get out. But, you know, I have two trips. I think Tim got a little action, too. So we're back today. So hopefully we'll be able to get back on the two-week cycle, but no promises. Tim, opening shots?
Yeah, it has been a little while. Apologies for that. Between travel and life and everything, like you said, Tanner, it has been difficult for our schedules to align. But I'm excited to hear about your trips. I know that I'm always excited to talk about my North Carolina adventure, so it should be a good one.
All right, on that, I will start out with my mullet run trip. So as I kind of talked about last episode with the baby, it's tough to get out with the mullet run. But I finally picked a day where I thought there was going to be a good low tide. The baits were going to be stacked up in my hole in downtown. So one morning before work, I got out there. And sure enough, the mullet were thick. I made one cast and I filled the net with 9-inch mullet. So sort of big baits. And I had just maybe a quarter, maybe a third ounce sinker. So not a big sinker to sink a mullet of that girth. So I was like, you know what? I could put another weight on, but I thought I saw some smaller mullet in the water. So I decided what I was going to do was cast out that bait. And what I've done in the past, there's a light pole. So I kind of like lean my rod up against the light pole so that if I do get a fish while I don't have my rod, it doesn't pull my rod in the water. And unlike usual where I'm using J hooks, I was using a circle hook. So put the 10-inch mullet in the water, go through the cast net. While I'm turned away looking at the water, I thought I hear my rod hit the light pole. I turn around and it looks like my rod's in the same place. So I don't do anything. I was like, all right, you know, maybe I was just imagining things. Continue to cast, made 3 or 4 more casts, ended up getting about 6 or 8, you know, 4 or 5-inch mullet, a little bit closer to the size I was looking for. And so I get those in the bucket and I go to check my line and it feels like it's hung at first, which is kind of surprising because I didn't give it that much scope. And I pull and I pull and I can feel it rubbing on something. And then all of a sudden I feel it break free and fish starts ripping drag, pulls me right towards the bridge. Now I'm using 30-pound leader, so not as tight as I used at that spot in years past. So I just began, but the fish is like right in front of me when I hook it. So it's probably like, you know, right off of the seawall and a good 6-7 feet from the bridge pilings. So I just start walking away from the bridge. So walking down the seawall away from the bridge, the fish is still pulling drag, but I'm still pulling her away from the bridge. As soon as I get far enough from the bridge where I don't think she's going to be able to run back with that tight of drag, I loosen it up and just enough to let her run a little bit. She starts running, just going crazy on the surface of the water. Just a beautiful, you know, I didn't measure it, but I'd eyeball it at around 33, 34 inches. Probably nice. A low end overslot fish. It's pretty low tide, but I'm still able to reach down, get her out, get the hook out. Some random guy was just standing there watching me. And he was able to snap a pick, and out of the corner of my eye, I see someone else hooked up on one. So I go over there and this other guy, he pulls out, about a 29-incher, 'cause he actually measured it. He was ready to eat snook for dinner. So He pulls a trash bag out of his duffel bag and stuffs that snook in the trash bag, wraps it up, and throws it in the duffel bag. Right around that time, a police officer rolls up and basically tells us to stop fishing. Now, I'm pretty sure we're allowed to fish there. Obviously, lots of people fish there. I've been fishing there for years. No police officer has ever said anything to me. But it turns out the guy that was there, the other guy, had some words with someone on a yacht. So what I think was, you know, the guy on the yacht called the police on him, and I just kind of got caught in the crossfire. I didn't want to mess around with the police. It wasn't something that was worth it to me. So as soon as the police officer, you know, I think I fished for a total of 10 minutes, got my 34 inch snook, and I was like, you know, I don't really want to deal with this. I don't know what that guy said to the yacht owner, but I know those yacht owners around that area can be very sensitive about their yachts. So I got out of there. There was another spot I wanted to try, and I actually did find a lot of mullet on the beach at the other spot, which was, you know, it's more of a beach, maybe like a 5 or 6 minute away drive from where I was. And there was something busting on schools, and they were smaller finger mullet, but I couldn't catch whatever it was. I got one bite. I think it was, you know, smaller Jack Crevalle. So, you know, there was a ton of mullet, and I tried to entice those jacks, but unfortunately I wasn't able to hook up on a jack, although I was so excited to get that overslot. And even though I only got to spend 10 minutes or so in the honey hole, I got the big fish and definitely considered it a successful day.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like that. You know, anytime you can go and get an overslot snook, I mean, that's a win in my book. That's pretty cool that, you know, just like that, lickety split, really with no real time in 10 minutes, you were able to convert and get that done on some really big mullet, those big baits. Now, you know, kind of going back to the yacht thing, have you ever had any interactions with those yachties over there? Is this like a thing that you know or are aware of, or was this completely out of the blue and a new experience for you?
So the yachties are on the other side of the channel, but there's like a little footbridge where you can walk across. There was once or twice several years ago where I was fishing too close to the yachts and did get yelled at, but I just walked away. And it sounds like this guy tried to argue with the yacht guys, and that's how the situation maybe evolved. Obviously, I don't know the details. I didn't hear anything, but from what he was saying, it sounds like there was some kind of argument between him and the yachties. And again, I never engaged. I always just avoided conflict, even though I'm pretty certain that is an open fishing area along the river where those yachts are and across the river from where the yachts are.
Yeah, that'd be unfortunate if, you know, something happened and, you know, your spot was shut down because of people, you know, running their mouth or whatever. Now, was it the same guy who put the fish in the trash bag, duffel bag combo? Was that him, or was it another bystander, another fisherman that was in altercation?
No, that same guy, same guy.
Okay. Yeah. Just curious, you know, I gotta be a little nosy, just cause, you know, it's out of the ordinary. Right. So, again, unfortunate you weren't able to fish for very long, but, what do you think happened? Do you think the snook just smashed that bait and that's what caused that noise? Like of your rod hitting the light standard, and then, you know, it just was kind of chilling, not really knowing am I hooked or what the deal is until you applied some pressure. Like, what do you think happened there?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. And I'm so happy that I had that circle hook on, because I think if I had a J hook, there's a very low chance I would have been able to hook that snook. But, you know, I think it got just enough pressure from the way my rod was leaned up against that light pole to get a hook set. And then, you know, the snook was just kind of not moving and kind of sitting in that general area until I put pressure on it.
Yeah, it's fortunate. I don't know the setup, and I'm sure that you have a way to semi-secure the rod. But, you know, I've seen and had it happen to me, lost a few rods by setting them down or leaning up against something. And a big snook like that, you know, really could take that rod, you know, potentially. So Nice job not losing the rod either. I mean, I'm sure you secured it in some way, but still, it gives me a little anxiety. I heard you say, "Oh, I just leaned it up against it." It's like, oh my goodness, what if, right?
Yeah, I learned that lesson at a very young age, fishing in Jacksonville, with one of my dad's friends. My dad was out of town, and it was just me and my dad's friends. Actually, I think it was during the mullet run in Jacksonville, and I was probably 7, 8 years old, and we had there's a spillway and these jacks. It's crazy. I was 7, 8 years old, but I remember it like it was yesterday. These jacks were just boiling on the spillway where the mullet were coming out the spillway. And so I don't know what I was thinking. We were catching jacks like left and right, but I threw it out, leaned it up against the spillway, and I turned around to go grab another mullet. And an old lady, I heard her say, "Your rod fell in the water. Your rod fell in the water." And I turned around and my rod was no longer there. So that's the only time that's ever happened to me. But obviously it was a hard lesson. I think it was a very new combo at the time. So not a pen. I think it was like an older Shakespeare model, but the way I lean it around these light poles is I put it at an angle. So the rod is pointing at the shore. And so I basically like wrap it a half turn around the light pole. So the only way the fish would be able to pull my rod over, it would have to drag the rod all the way around the light pole, which is just not very realistic. At least, I would hear it, I would see it before it was able to do that. Could potentially rub my reel on the sidewalk, which wouldn't be great. But luckily enough, that did not happen this time. And I have had some success doing that in the past, more for mangroves than snook. I don't know that I've ever been able to actually catch a snook like that. But you know what? The stars aligned and I got lucky.
No, sounds like you did. Sounds like it worked out, and I commend you for leaving a hot spot. It's always tough to walk away when you were so successful, but I think it's best to just de-escalate and get the heck out of there. So, good job. I wish the beach and your other fishing spots would have panned out, but still a major success in my book.
Yeah, I'm a big de-escalator, so a little bit bummed, but at least I got my fish.
That makes sense to me.
All right, now I want to transition to another trip we did on the boat club. So I finally had the boat club. The weather was marginal, so I was worried all week long that it was going to blow out, and I wasn't going to be able to get out there. So I wake up on Saturday morning, go out with two of my law school friends. Sure enough, the weather cooperates. So was very happy to see that. We get out, everything's going pretty well. We go to the pilchard guy, and the past probably 6 months, every time we've tried to buy live pilchards, they've been out. And they had no dead pilchards at my regular bait shop. So I had no pilchards, only dead shrimp. So was really counting on the pilchard guy, and sure enough, he has an abundance of pilchards. So usually it's a scoop for 20. So I didn't want to mess around. So I gave him 40 and he gave me 3 scoops. So pulling out of the cut, we were flush with bait. So we run out to about 1,000 looking for dolphin, not really seeing a ton of weed. On our way back in, we start to see clumps of not sargassum weed. It looks more like bay weed that had just been pulled off in a storm and blown offshore, but it was patching like sargassum. So there was some kind of noticeable weed lines. We look around, we start finding some bigger patches that look like they're big enough to hold dolphin. One of my friends is using lures, the other two of us are just throwing in live pilchards. And my buddy throwing the lures, he casts and about a 26, 27 inch dolphin follows his lure back to the boat. So pretty good cow dolphin, but it was curious in his lure, but didn't seem interested in eating it. So I had a live bait on at the time, threw a live bait on in front of its face, it would not eat. So go back to the live well, get a fresh bait. He casts his lure out again, and again she follows him right up to the boat, just kind of looks at it, doesn't move. This time, you know, my bait's a little bit fresher. I throw it right in front of her face and slam. And, you know, that was the first, I think, 25 plus inch fish I've gotten this year. And boy, is there a big difference in a 20 inch dolphin. You know, this year, most of the dolphin we've caught have been 18, 19, 20 inch, you know, just short or barely keepers. And this 25, 26 inch fish just had a lot more girth to it. And it put up quite a fight. Had a lot more meat on it, jumped, you know, probably fought me for almost 10 minutes, got it in the boat. And we moved on to another spot pretty close, those same type of bay weed patches. And we, the guy with the lure again hooks up first. You know, he hooks up one on the lure, and we see three or four more in the water. So the other two of us throw our live baits out, and we all three of us hook up right at the same time. So we got a triple header. All of them are jumping. Just really incredible. You know, my buddies don't fish that much. To get them hooked up on dolphin like that was really incredible. You know, my friend requested, he was like, I want to catch dolphin and amberjacks. That's what I want to do today. So we get out there that morning, and it, you know, we got the three dolphin. His ends up, you know, spitting the lure right by the boat. You know, I think it was probably the biggest of the three fish, and it just jumped almost eye level and shook the lure. The guy with the other live bait, he got his in, it was about 19, and mine was just over 20. So two fish in the boat, one off at the side of the boat, plus the bigger one from about 45 minutes earlier. We looked a little bit longer. We tried a couple more patches, but, you know, I'd had some good luck for yellowtail the past couple times I went out, even though it had been like 3 or 4 months. So I wanted to try my yellowtail spots. So we go to one of my new yellowtail spots. We get the chum going, and Tim, it just wasn't on it. You know, we got a couple good bites, you know, but mostly we were catching 10, 11 inch yellowtails. I was using shrimp. One guy was fishing the bottom with shrimp, and then the other guy was using the live pilchards. And with the live pilchard, he got the one keeper, and it was barely 12 inches. You know, just, we probably fished that spot for an hour, and it just wasn't really feeling the vibe. And I was like, you know what, let's go to my near shore spot. The last couple times I fished it, there weren't any amberjacks. I know I've told you about fishing that spot before where we get those, you know, amberjacks. So we go there and we roll up to the spot. We all drop a pilchard in the water. And I think within about 10 seconds, all three of us were hooked up on, you know, 26, 27 inch AJs on, you know, our 4,000 class reels, just having a ball. And I think for about the next 30 or 45 minutes, we had a fish hooked up almost the entire time. Like some one of the three of us had a little amberjack on, you know, 30 feet of water. You know, I did put it up to a fish identification Facebook group, and two guys on there thought they are baby graters. So I'm still not sure, graters, lessers, banded rudderfish, maybe some combination. But the two pictures that I showed, both of these guys thought that they were small grater amberjacks. Obviously, you know, we've had this conversation in the past. We released them, but 20-pound line, 30-pound leader, just, you know, 4 or 5 pound amberjacks constantly for 45 minutes. Eventually, the amberjacks slowed down a little bit. We started getting some blue runners. We caught one keeper mangrove, but you could see the mangroves chasing the pilchards on the surface. It was pretty cool. Like popped my pilchard out of the water a couple times. But by that time, you know, the clock was running. We were supposed to go to a fall festival with my wife and the baby. So there was one other spot, my big lane snapper spot. So we wanted to go to that, and that's kind of on the way back. So we pulled up to that. We all dropped in, and amberjacks again. Everyone's hooked up on those same, you know, the spots are less than they're maybe about a mile apart. The deeper spot is like 27, 28. The shallower spot's probably like 16, 17. But those little amberjacks, exactly the same size as the other one, were there. You know, we cut those for another 10 or 15 minutes, and we called it a day.
Well, it seems like your buddy got his wish, and good job on you for putting him on those Mahi and those AJs. Sounds like a ball. It really does. Sounds like a ton of fun going out there. And, you know, I don't want to say it seems like, you know, you struggled with the Dolphin this season, but I know it's been tough, right? It's always a grind. And to go out and to get, you know, a nice fish like that, that's pretty cool. And this is a little later in the season for them, right? Like, you're not typically, are we kind of winding down over there?
Yeah, this is definitely the tail end of the season. So it was cool to be able to get, you know, potentially my last opportunity. I'm going the weekend after next, or at least I'm supposed to if the weather cooperates. But it was nice to get on some fish. And I do think that I probably, you know, the chances we get into them again this year are low. You know, we got a couple shots at them this year. You know, I think we only went empty-handed once in May, but you know, I didn't get out that much just because of the baby.
Yeah, that may be what I'm kind of thinking of.
Opportunities as I have in years past.
Yeah, I know it's just been maybe it's life's kind of thrown some curveballs. Like I said, I didn't mean to say you struggled, but I haven't, you know, I couldn't remember a good one that you've been pleased with in the last few times we talked. So that's really cool you were able to get that. And what do you think the allure of the lure versus the live bait with bringing those mahi in? Do you think it's just the quick movement and able to kind of pattern and throw the lure out all over the boat and not just soak a bait? Do you think that's what kind of was bringing them in, and then you were able to convert with the live bait a little better once they were close?
Yeah, I think that's it. I always like to have someone throwing some sort of jig. You know, I have a lot of like curly tails, you know, flukes, you know, different swim baits. I don't think they really care too much as long as it's something that's moving fast and is able to cover a little bit more ground. You know, usually I'm the one fishing the lure, but the buddy of mine that was throwing the lure, you know, he's someone I used to bass fish with a lot back in the day. So he has a lot of experience fishing soft plastics. So I thought that he was the best one to do that. And then I could focus on the live baits. And I think it worked out really well. We worked really well as a team.
No, that's great. I do a similar thing. I always like to have, you know, whether inshore or offshore, some sort of pitch rod with a lure, or, you know, like you said, whether it's a soft plastic or, you know, a hard bait, a crankbait, something that you can move and at least, you know, get the attention of a fish. If you see a cobia cruising by or a school of mahi, just, to, you know, you can get their attention or whatever it may be. So no, that makes total sense. And, you know, for your yellowtail spot, I know you said it was a couple months since the last time you were there. You think that's mostly a seasonal change that, you know, kind of they're not there this time, and you think that's what's going on, or you think, you know, maybe it's gotten overfished, or what's your take there?
I mean, there definitely was a lot more pressure. You know, the times we've been in the past, there was maybe one or two boats. This time I saw six, seven, eight boats. So there was a lot of boats, not necessarily right on my spot, but, you know, within a few hundred yards. So it's obviously, it's more of a bottom area than like a specific spot. So there were a lot of other boats. And also in my experience, the yellowtail do move in a little bit when the water gets a little chillier. We were fishing like 65 feet deep. I think maybe they're in the more 40, 50 at this time of year. So if we do go again, you know, I think my dad is actually going to be in town. So if I do get out with my dad and we do that, I think we'll fish a little bit shallower. But who knows? You know, if the weather's bad, maybe we'll just go chase trout on the flats, because my dad really enjoyed that the last time we went out.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like you got some options. And I am curious, your buddy who wanted to catch those amberjacks after catching, you know, amberjacks, you know, they're not monsters, right? But on light tackle, was he pretty worn out? Did he have anything to say like, holy cow, that was a incredible day? Or what was his take on things?
Yeah, he was super jazzed. You know, that was exactly what he was looking for. He was very excited. I think the two of them both agreed that it was one of the best fishing days they'd ever had. You know, the one guy went out with me when we had our good mahi day earlier this summer, where we caught a bunch. You know, we probably caught 18 or 19, but they were all really small. You know, he's gone out with me a couple other times where we've gone on those little, you know, 24, 25 inch amberjacks, but never as hot as they were this day. This was definitely the hottest I'd ever seen him. And it was just one, like I said, it must have been 45 minutes, just one after another after another.
No, they're fun. You know, it's great to be able to do that and provide that for your friends and, you know, check those boxes on what he wanted to do. And, you know, any hot bite, it doesn't matter if it's ladyfish, amberjack, mangrove snapper, snook, you know, to get those just immediate hits and just have it be like that much of a feeding frenzy. It's just a ton of fun to experience. So, good job there. That's really cool. It sounds like a great offshore trip.
Yeah, I think especially with these less experienced anglers, just being able to throw a hook in a pilchard and drop it off the boat on a free line, that's about as easy a fishing as you can get. And I think as a beginner, an easy bite with a hard fight is really the best combination. So you're getting the fight, but you're not, you know, kind of getting lost trying to feel a light bump. You know, you're dropping that pilchard in the water and that fish is on, and then you just got to hold on.
Yeah, there's no mistaking it, right? You know, when you get those, yeah, real hard hitting, real hard pulling fish, that's great. And you know, obviously, you know, not knowing exactly what they are is tough. Like as far as like wanting to maybe keep them if they are, you know, a slot rudder fish or something like that. They are just so hard to identify at that size. So good job there. I do the same thing. I don't monkey with them if they're not, you know, really easy to identify, like, yes, this is a slot grader, or this is for sure an Almaco or something. I don't mess with them, especially on that hot bite, because you don't want to be taking the time to really inspect it just to, you know, maybe injure the fish by keeping it out of the water if it's just going to go back, or, you know, taking time away from that hot bite. So, yeah, I don't blame you at all for, you know, questioning what the heck you got on the other end of the line there.
Yeah, I think the Almacos are the easiest to identify. You know, I had a couple Almacos of similar size this summer, you know, fishing weeds offshore. I think I can usually tell Almacos. It's just the rudders, the lessers, and the juvenile graders that all look, you know, very, very similar. Obviously, when you get a big grader, you know it's a grader.
You know.
and when I fish rudders up in Jupiter, you know, it's like the spring rudder run. So they know, like the captains, you know, we go out on charter boats and the captains know this is the rudder run. These are all rudders. But in times like this, you know, there's not someone else that's paid that I can lean on, you know, and I'm the captain. It's just not worth messing around.
No, it definitely isn't. It definitely isn't. You 100% did the right thing there.
Well, all right. With that, Tim, let me hear about that trout.
Well, my fishing in North Carolina is not nearly as exciting. So, you know, bear with me here. Didn't actually have a whole lot of opportunity to get out and do any of those rivers and creek fishing like I wanted to. You know, we have, as we age and things happen, this is a family trip, and some of the members of the family weren't as spry as years past and weren't able to go out and really do as much out of doors hiking and fishing like we have in years past. So the emphasis wasn't really on that. We were able to do quite a bit of hiking. My wife and I were able to cut out on our own quite a bit, and we were able to do some easier trails and moderate trails with some of the family, but it just didn't allow us a lot of time to target and go fishing for any of these trout. But on I think our last day in town, my wife and I went out by ourselves one morning to do a longer, more strenuous hike, and it just so happened to be the road to get in and out of this trail happened to be bordering a nice little river. And you know, I fished this river before with decent success, but not this stretch. So on the way in, I was kind of looking for little pools and eddies and areas where I could have access with pullouts. It is a popular fishing river, very popular, but I found a couple spots I wanted to investigate on the way back. And after we did our nice hike with the dog and everything and had a beautiful morning, we were able to pull out on one of these spots where there wasn't anybody else fishing. And I got out, you know, I was just doing a little spinning rod, just ultra light, kind of micro spinning stuff, to try to get on a trout. I don't care if it's a brook, a brown, a rainbow. I just wasn't going to go to the mountains and not at least try a little bit. So there was a really nice, river was flowing pretty good, but there was a nice kind of pool and a big eddy, a lot of leaves and stuff kind of hanging on the top. So I could tell that was some stiller water kind of flowing in that eddy there. And I just thought, let me just throw, you know, a small spinner bait and just try to work it down the current and kind of back through this eddy and see what happens. And you know, luckily enough for me, I have quite a few little spinners and things like that. And I put on a MEPS size zero, so a pretty small spinner bait. It's a black bait with a gold, what do you call it? A gold blade. So it's kind of darker, and it was in the shade. I didn't want to do anything too flashy. And you know, in just about, I think it was my third or fourth cast, I hooked up. I couldn't actually believe it at the time because I'm just like, you know, this is happening pretty quick. Did I snag a leaf? What's going on here? But yeah, nice little rainbow. It was probably about 10 inches long. Gave me a good tussle, did some jumps, did some this and that, and was able to get a picture with it. My wife was hanging out down the river, I don't know, 50, 60 feet, just eating an apple and watching. And she couldn't believe that I caught something so fast. So, you know, props to me there. But got the rainbow, got a couple pictures, and got it back in the water. And, you know, I think I maybe took 10 more casts after that and just said, you know what? We don't really have a ton of time here. We got to meet our family back at the brewery for lunch, and you know, just called it a win and got out of there. So my fishing in North Carolina was quite brief. Definitely probably the least amount I've done in the most recent years up there. But we had great weather, just really nice fall. You know, low 40s to upper 60s. The colors were great, and you know, wasn't how I drew it up, but it was still a fun and productive trip either way.
Well, Tim, the MEPS Aglia is a classic. I used to love using them actually for largemouth bass when I was a kid. But obviously they're a trout classic. Just a great lure. And it's awesome you had some success.
Yeah, you know, I like the MEPS. The MEPS are good. They are, you know, a tested classic. I like the Vibrax Blue Foxes too. Those work pretty good. But I, you know, the ones I have in those colors are a little more flashy. And I just, you know, I don't like bringing through a flashy pink or fire tiger or something with silver blades through kind of a shadowy environment. It just, for to me, it doesn't really make sense. I kind of wanted to do something a little darker, just because we were, you know, under that the cover of a lot of trees and in the shade. So it worked out. I didn't even try another one. I was thinking, oh, let me try tying on something else. But you know, like I said, we're kind of tight on time. And I said, you know what? I don't want to sit here and keep casting. We got places to be. So I'm gonna, like I said, chalk it up for a win and get on the road and enjoy the day. And yeah, and that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, that is the way to do it sometimes. And speaking of being tight on time, my wife and son just walked in from their music class, and we only have 5 minutes on the Zoom left anyway. So I'm gonna go ahead and say thanks, guys. Remember, leave us 5 stars on iTunes. Please leave us a nice review. Tim, I'll let you have the last word.
Yeah, I don't know when the next time I'm gonna be able to fish. Looking at the 10-day forecast, it's wind, but I do have that big sandbar hunt coming up here soon. So a lot of prep for that, and hopefully some good stories and some good groceries to come of that. So stay tuned, and thanks everyone for listening.
All right, catch you on the flip side.
Thanks.